Let's turn to the New Testament this evening to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this is thy word, inspired, infallible, and true, and it is the word of life. So open it up to us this evening and give us life from it, to the praise of thy grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The text for the sermon is Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this evening in an ever-changing world and in our ever-changing lives, we make the lovely confession of the text in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same. This word first came to Hebrew Christians long ago. They were formerly Jews, ethnically and religiously, but the gospel came, and according to his decree of election, God brought some of these Jews to saving faith in Jesus Christ, so that they believed in Jesus and they confessed the name of Jesus. And now to them was written the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews teaches that Jesus Christ is superior. He's superior to everything. He's superior to all of the types and the shadows, the pictures of him in the old dispensation. But he's even superior to everything in the earth and everything in the heavens. In fact, he's superior to the angels, for he has by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus Christ is the better mediator of the better covenant, and he is superior. And then the main word of exhortation to the Hebrew Christians was, now do not go back. Do not cave. They were constantly being pressured by the unbelieving Jews to give up their confession of the name of Jesus and to go back to Old Testament Judaism and all the elaborate ceremonies of the Mosaic Law. Some of them were even being persecuted. Come back with us and run with us as the Jews in the way of Judaism. And the main point of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is superior. Now do not go back and apostatize, but cling to him with a true and living faith. Now, in the very last chapter of the book, Hebrews chapter 13, the inspired writer teaches that this glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is superior to everything and everyone, he does not change. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ the same. Now, that was an incredible statement when it was first made. It still is today, of course. But you have to understand the context in which these Jewish Christians were living. They were living in the most peculiar era of human history. They were living in that time of transition, coming out of the old dispensation as this new dispensation of Christianity was being inaugurated. It's almost as if they had one foot in the Old Testament and one foot in the New Testament, and now they're living during this period of transition in which there were staggering changes. Changes that we could hardly appreciate and really were not able fully to fathom. You mean now that we are to have a religious life unto God? With no temple. With no temple. We don't even need the temple, and with no priesthood, and with no sacrifices, after thousands of years of bringing animal sacrifices to the altar and having priests, we don't need this anymore. It was unthinkable. This whole way of life was changing. And does this mean that the very essence of God's covenant has changed? And has the very way of salvation changed? And has Jehovah, the God of the covenant, changed? And now here comes the book of Hebrews with the inspired writer who's saying, yes, indeed, much is changing. And that's true for you and me tonight, too. Many things are changing, constantly changing. But Jesus Christ is the better mediator of the better covenant. He's superior to absolutely everything. And you need to know this. He is the same. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday And he's the same today, and he's the same forever. Let's consider then that confession, Hebrews 13, verse 8, taking as our theme our changeless Jesus Christ. Notice the proper understanding, second, the comforting knowledge, and third, the believing expression. The doctrine of the text is what we would in catechism class call immutability. Immutability, which is that attribute of God according to which he does not and he cannot change. In the fullness of his divine being and in all of the plans of his eternal counsel, our God is from age to age the same. He does not change. And now Hebrews 13 verse 8 is teaching us to make the same confession with regard to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the same. He's immutable. That is, yesterday, literally yesterday, Saturday, yesterday, and figuratively speaking, yesterday, if we will go all the way back to the days in which this epistle was written, or go all the way back to the days in which Jesus walked on this earth, yesterday, or go all the way back into the old dispensation when Jesus was pictured and there were promises of him yesterday and today, literally today, Sunday, and tomorrow and the next day and into the everlasting forever, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's changeless. Now, regarding a proper understanding of this teaching of the text, there are two points that ought to be immediately obvious to all of us. Number one, obviously, Jesus, with respect to his divine nature, does not change. As God the Father and God the Spirit, so God the Son is the immutable God. Divinity does not change. With respect to his divinity, he does not change. Even when he assumed a human nature, which is what we celebrate this time of year with the coming of the Son of God into our flesh, even when the Son of God took on something new, when he took on humanity in his incarnation, his divinity remained unaltered as he is the eternally changeless Son of God. Jesus Christ the Savior, with respect to his divinity, he does not change. He cannot change. Secondly, obviously, Jesus Christ, with respect to his human nature, now we need to pause with a parenthetical remark. Here's one of the great mysteries of the Bible, one of the deep teachings of Scripture, that our one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has both a divine nature and he has a human nature that are perfectly united in him. Jesus Christ, with respect to his human nature, obviously changes. He changed in physical appearance. When he was first born, Mary took him, and he was a little baby, and she wrapped him up in swaddling clothes, and she held him. Just over 30 years later, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, with the permission of Pontius Pilate, went and they took the corpse of Jesus down from the cross, and they carried that rather large adult corpse and had it wrapped up, and they carried it all the way into the sepulcher. And what they were holding was very, very different than what Mary held when she held her little baby. Obviously, he changed. With regard to the actual condition of his life, obviously that changed. For during his earthly ministry, and especially at the end, he was scorned and ridiculed and hated, and people spit on him, and they slapped him, And they took a crown of thorns and they pressed it into his skull, and they took big spikes and they pounded them through his palms into the tree of the cross, and there they murdered him, Jesus Christ. Now, at God's right hand, in the state of exaltation, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords in unspeakable glory. Obviously, there was a change. Regarding the changeableness of Christ in his humanity, Luke says in Luke 2, verse 40, and the child grew. See, every day he was changing, he grew. He waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Again, we read in Luke 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. With regard to his divine nature, of course, he does not change. With regard to his human nature, of course, he changes. How then do we properly understand the main teaching of the text? Obviously, we can't take it in the absolute sense of the word. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Well, the key to understanding the text is found in the first two words of the text, which are the two names that we are given for our Savior, Jesus Christ. In who he is to us and in what he does for us as Jesus and as Christ, he does not change. Who is he and what does he do for us as Jesus? Well, when Joseph was contemplating the fact that Mary was pregnant and what all of these things mean, the angel came to Joseph and told him, "Fear not, the Holy Ghost has come upon her." And now Matthew 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, his work is to save us from our sins. His work isn't first of all to save us from earthly poverty and oppression and the flu and coronaviruses and cancer, though ultimately in the end, when he fully delivers us from sin, he will also deliver us from all of these earthly afflictions. But his essential work is to save us from our sin, to remove our guilt from before the face of God, to free us from our condemnation in Adam, to take away that enslaving power of sin, to remove that corrupting, defiling influence of sin. And nothing is more important than salvation from sin, because if you do not have salvation from sin, then you are a guilty sinner before God, and God must punish you. And therefore, everything in your life, including all of the adversities and the afflictions, all of it is intended to be against you by God. There's nothing worse than being guilty before the living God. And the great work of Jesus in salvation is to save us from our sin. In the Old Testament, when he was known through pictures, in the new dispensation, as he came into our flesh and he walked in his ministry through the earth, and even when he healed physical diseases, when he was dying on that cross, as he is now at God's right hand in heaven, Jesus Christ never changes in his work, which is to save us from our sins and to give us everlasting life and righteousness and his Holy Spirit. Sin, he shall save his people from their sins. He shall. He doesn't have any co-laborers. Yesterday, Moses couldn't save you, neither could a lamb. Today, your good works and the prayers of saints cannot save you. Tomorrow, no political leader, including the Antichrist himself, can save you. He shall save his people from their sins. He's the Savior. He shall save really, effectually, graciously, irresistibly, sovereignly. He shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people. His people. Whether he's hanging on the cross or whether he's now at God's right hand, he never intends to save anyone who does not belong to the company of the predestinated. He saves his people, his elect people. And he always does it with a heart of love. Revelation 1 verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So who is this Savior? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And in who he is as Jesus, and in what he does for us as Jesus, saving us, his people, from our sins, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. Similarly, he does not change in who he is and in what he does as Christ. That we know is his official title, which means he is the anointed office bearer of God, the prophet and the priest and the king whom God gives to us, Christ. As our prophet, his work is always to show to us our great God by speaking to us the word of God. That's what the prophet does. Yesterday in the old dispensation, when Christ would speak through all those prophets like Elijah and Jeremiah, who were pictures of him, or when Christ came to this earth and he started preaching on the mountainside or in the temple in Jerusalem, and when he spoke through mouthpieces to the Hebrew Christians, or still today when he speaks from heaven to us through ordained mouthpieces, and into all eternity when he speaks to us in the highest heights of heaven, Christ, our prophet, is always revealing to us our God, only God, always God, by speaking to us the word of God. Christ the prophet. As office bearer, he's our priest. And the work of the priest is always to bring the worshiper unto God for fellowship with God and to receive the blessing of God. That's the work of Jesus Christ as priest. Yesterday, when he was working in the old dispensation through all of those high priests who were pictures of him, as they went unto God in the most holy place and they sprinkled blood on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and they came back out and they blessed the people. Or Christ himself as the priest when he came into our flesh and he gave his own life as a sacrifice on the cross. Or now when he is at God's right hand, our mediator, our intercessor, taking our prayers and perfecting them before the face of God, applying unto us his own blood, which he shed for us. The work of Jesus Christ as priest is always to bring us unto God in the full assurance of faith and on the basis of his own blood and into all eternity to lead us to the pleasures that are forevermore at God's right hand to be with God. And as priest, whether yesterday, today, or forever, he never changes. And as king, it is always his work to rule over his people and to protect them from enemies. And so always Christ the King works to govern his people, whether he did that in the old dispensation through David or Solomon, or whether he does that now from heaven by his Holy Spirit who sets up rule within us in our hearts so that by the power of the Spirit we can manfully fight against and overcome sin and the devil and his whole dominion. And one day we will rule, we will reign with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. He rules and he always protects, whether it's from those Amalekites, or whether it's from those Philistines, or whether it's from those Assyrians, or whether it's from heresy and false doctrine and all the tides of immorality in the world, and Satan and all of his demons, King Jesus rules his people and protects them. And whether we're talking yesterday, way back in the old dispensation, or today, right now, or tomorrow, as our prophet, as our priest, and as our king, the anointed Christ, the office bearer of God, and who he is to us, and in what he does for us, he is the same. He does not change. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. And therefore, the gospel never changes. The gospel never changes. The gospel is the same. The gospel as it was first preached to Adam and Eve in paradise after their fall. The gospel as it was preached in the old dispensation through all those pictures. The gospel that Jesus preached in Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, and that Paul preached to the nations. The gospel that is preached in this church and in this pulpit. And everywhere there is the true church of Jesus Christ in the world, the gospel never changes. The gospel is always the same because Jesus is the content of the gospel through all the ages of the covenant, and he never changes. Now, of course, there are changes. The New Testament reveals more than the old. You children understand more, and you understand better than Adam and Eve did, better than Moses did. We have greater clarity in the new dispensation. And there can be new insights into the gospel. There can be new applications of the gospel. With the rise of this heresy or that heresy, God in his sovereignty, he leads his church into a deeper and deeper knowledge of the scriptures. But though our understanding of the gospel may change, the gospel itself never changes because Jesus is the content of it and he never changes. And therefore, the rock upon which you stand and you build your life, it never changes. The banner under which we march, it never changes. The content of our faith, what we hold for truth, it never changes. The one to whom we are personally united in body and soul for life and death never changes. The God of the covenant who is revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ, he never changes. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, in an ever-changing world where everything is always in flux, and moving and changing with all the vicissitudes of life, this gives us comforting knowledge. Consider five things that change, making Hebrews 13, verse 8 so comforting. First, the believer says, and upon hearing this text, doesn't every believer say this spontaneously? The believer says, number one, I change. Yesterday, my love for God was so strong, and it was burning so brightly, and I was willing to sacrifice anything for my God, but today my love is like a dying fire in the embers. I feel like I'm losing something of my first love as my life and my pleasures and my vacation and my employment and my life and all my investments are meaning more to me than my God. I change. Yesterday, my faith was at high tide, the strength of the Lord. I had great confidence in Him and His strength. And He was the joy of my salvation. I stood on the mountain tops of faith. And I was so confident in the Word of God that all the winds of adversity were blowing and I could not be moved. But today, my faith is at low tide and I'm trembling in fear and have all these anxious thoughts and lately, way too many sleepless nights because I change. My love for God changes. My faith in God fluctuates. Yesterday I went to the doctor and he said, "You look great. I don't see anything." And I said, "Hallelujah." That was yesterday. Today I went to the doctor and he said, "It's back. Your cancer? It's back." And I said, "No. No, Lord." But that's my life. I change. Physically in the body, spiritually in the soul, I change. And often I'm unfaithful. But the comfort of the child of God is Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And because Jesus is the revelation of God, we know our God does not change. Yesterday God loved me. And today God loves me. And tomorrow, well, what? What? Tomorrow, God will hate me? No. Yesterday, God loved me. Today, God loves me. And tomorrow, no matter what happens, God loves me. And even if I become disobedient, and God must lay His heavy hand of chastisement upon me, and make my life very, very difficult, His love never changes. He is the same in Jesus Christ yesterday and today and forever. Though I change, He's the same. Second, the believer says, circumstances around me change. It could easily happen that the believer says, yesterday the economy was so strong, the fear index was low, consumer confidence was high, stocks were soaring, and I had a really good job. It was a stable job, a well-paying job. That was yesterday. Today, everything's spiraling downward, out of control, and I'm expecting my boss to call me in by the end of the week to tell me that he has to let me go. I have 7 children. Today, the believer may say, where I live in the world, there's a political party that is favorable to biblical Christianity, and most positions of authority in the land are occupied by those who belong to that party. And then tomorrow, everything could change. And a political party that is hostile to Christianity could take over the majority of positions of leadership in the land. Change. Circumstances. Change. Or the believer may say, yesterday, my teacher stood in front of the classroom. And he was holding this little white stick that made his fingers really dusty. And he wrote on a board that was black. That was yesterday. Today, I sit on my couch in the living room and my teacher's on another continent and teaches me through this screen. Change. Everything's changing. Always changing. All these circumstances, sometimes for good, often not, often for the worse. And in the light of all of these changes of circumstances, the believer says, my comfort is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And though we be at the storm-tossed sea like the disciples in the boat, that Savior in the boat who rebuked those winds and said, "Peace be still," he is the exact, they could see him, he was on that boat, he is the exact same Savior of tender compassion and sovereign power to me right now as he was to those disciples on the boat. And he speaks his efficacious word to my heart when it's like a troubled sea in all these changes. "Peace, be still," and he quiets me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Third, the believer says life in the instituted church may change. Now here we see a connection to the context, the preceding and the following context. First of all, verse 7 speaks of ruling office bearers in the church. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And then Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And in that connection between verses 7 and 8, there could be a number of implications drawn out. One of the implications could be you have these office bearers who rule over you in the church, and they may change. There may be one who's here today, and he's gone tomorrow. But Jesus, he's the same. There may be an office bearer who's here today, but he's gone tomorrow because he has a term limit, or because he must resign, or he's disabled by illness, or he's released for weighty reasons, or he's deposed for his sin, or he faithlessly deserts his office, or he's slain by the sword or cast into prison in time of persecution, or he's a minister and he takes a call and he goes to another congregation, or he becomes emeritus. And some of these changes can have a significant impact upon the life of a congregation. Here today, gone tomorrow. And it was like that in the Old Testament too. Today, yesterday, Aaron is our priest. Today, Eleazar is our priest. Tomorrow, Eli is our priest. Yesterday, David was our king. Today, Solomon's our king. Tomorrow, Rehoboam's our king. And all these changes, Jesus Christ, the same. The indispensable office bearer. The one who truly loves the church with all of his heart and mind and soul and strength. And he's the only one who can save the church, including the office bearers of the church. He never changes. He'll never be deposed. And he will never faithlessly desert his office. The Christ, he's the same. Then there's verse 9. "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines." Doctrine may change in the church. The doctrine of Scripture never changes. It is from age to age the same. But the doctrinal confession of a particular church, the teaching of a particular instituted church, may change and change for the worse and become, well, verse 9, strange as a foreign imposition upon the Scriptures. Jesus Christ, the same. And that's so comforting to the child of God, because no matter what doctrinal confession may change here, there, or anywhere, Jesus Christ is the same. He reveals himself in true doctrine, and he will see to it that his doctrine is faithfully taught somewhere in the world, because his church will stand and the gates of hell will never prevail against his church. Jesus Christ, the same. Fourth, the believer says the wicked world changes. And by world now, we are referring to wicked men and women who are living out of that inner principle of corruption as a race that is alienated from God, hostile to the church, and opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and ruled by its prince, Satan, the world, The world is constantly changing and getting worse, so that things are getting darker and darker. Yesterday, virtually everyone confessed that a man is a biological male and that a woman is a biological female. But it can happen that one of the young people in the church has a job, let's say at a local coffee shop, and there's a biological male, a man, who's a co-worker and says, I am a female, and my name is Susie, and when you talk about me, use the pronouns she and her. Because today, you aren't what you are, but you are what you feel, or what you think, or what you want to be. And today, you might be able to speak against that and say, not only is that absurd, but that is an offense to my Creator and contrary to the Holy Scriptures. Repent and find forgiveness in the blood of Jesus and happiness and true joy in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might be able to say that today without any significant repercussions, but tomorrow that might land you in prison. Because the world is constantly changing. And as it does, that means more and more suffering for the Christian church. But our comfort is that Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same prophet who will continue to reveal to us and our children, our great God, out of these unchanging scriptures. This Bible, the same Bible of your parents and your grandparents, and the scripture never changes, and how it applies to our life. And he's the same priest who will continue to take us and our children and bring us into the safety of the shadow of the wings of our Almighty God. And he's the same king who will rule us and protect us and our children. And no matter what hideous works of darkness shall be revealed and uncovered in the very last days, right before the eyes of us and our children, our king will continue to protect us and govern us within, so that we're able manfully to fight against and overcome sin, Satan, and his whole dominion. He never changes. Finally, the believer says, people change. And this is very difficult. And it was for the Hebrew Christians. It was no doubt their experience that with the constant pressure of those unbelieving Jews, there were some professing Hebrew Christians who couldn't take it anymore. It was too hard, and they apostatized, and they went back into the unbelief of Judaism. Not because Jesus changed, not because their faith disappeared, as if one day they had faith and the next day they didn't have faith, but it's because it was only an appearance. For a time they only appeared to belong to Jesus, but then that mask of hypocrisy was taken away and they were seen for who they really were, and they were not true Christians. And so they left the Christian church and they went back to Judaism, and now the Hebrew Christians have to deal with that apostasy. And it is so discouraging. And the same thing may happen to us. And it does happen that parents raise their children in the fear of the Lord and teach them the holy things of God and to love the gospel. And the children may grow up and perhaps even make confession of faith in the church, and then one day forsake it all. The God, the Christ, the church, the salvation of the Holy Scriptures, and walk away from it and live like the wicked world, or sometimes even worse, walk away, but then come back to get close to the church and the Christian family to throw stones and slander and curse and damn And that's some of the most difficult change that a father, a mother, a brother, a sister in the church could ever experience. An awful apostasy. People change. More broadly, we all change in that we're fickle. We are. We're very fickle. And our convictions about this, that, or the other thing can change like the wind sometimes. Flipping and flopping. Or in our relationships as husbands and wives, we're not always so faithful. We don't always love each other as we ought to. Our love is strong, our love is weak. We're always changing. But our comfort is that we have an elder brother. We have a husband. We have an office bearer. We have a Savior to whom we can safely commit our body and our soul in life and in death because He is faithful. And He never changes. Trust in Him. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today. And here's the clincher, isn't it? Yesterday and today, but what about yesterday and today? And I don't care how far you go into the everlasting future, He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, this is our believing expression. Believe it and say it. Jesus Christ the same. Now, did you notice that the text is an incomplete sentence? It does not have that fundamental grammatical piece we call a verb. In fact, it doesn't even have that smallest of all verbs, the linking verb called is. The text does not say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It just says Jesus Christ the same. No verb. Neither does the text have any connecting word, but, since, moreover, therefore, making a nice tight connection with the immediate context. We have in the chapter, let brotherly love continue. That's the fountainhead. And then all these exhortations to brotherly love. And then all of a sudden, who's expecting this? We have an incomplete sentence with no grammatical connecting word, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, and then after another exhortation. What is this? Well, this is the believer's emphatic exclamation. It doesn't need to be a complete sentence, as often our exclamations are not. And it doesn't need to have a tight connecting word. It's simply the exclamation that the believer exclaims and can exclaim it anytime, anywhere it's appropriate to speak. Say it. Jesus Christ the same. It always fits. Now, it fits here in chapter 13 at the very end of the book. After all the teaching of the superiority of Jesus Christ, now at the end of the book, and this Christ is the same. And it fits in its immediate context between verses 7 and 9. Of course, the Spirit inspired it. But you know, you could really take verse 8 and you could fit it anywhere, anywhere in the whole book, in any chapter, because that's how it works. It's the believer's emphatic explanation. Anywhere, anytime, here's my comfort, Jesus Christ the same. You can say that out at the cemetery when everyone is so somber with a heavy heart. Say it, Jesus Christ the same. You can say it at the wedding after everyone's walking out and people are so full of joy. You can say it, Jesus Christ the same, no matter what happens in life. This exclamation fits. Jesus Christ the same. Emphatic exclamation. Now unbelief dismisses it and scoffs at it, or unbelief will lament, I can believe that the text contains truth, truth for others, but I'm not so sure that he's the same to me. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. So say it in faith. Jesus Christ the same, and the same for me. And God gives us that wonderful gift of faith, whereby we're not only able with the physical eyes to see the seen, as everyone can see the seen, but by faith we're able to see what is unseen. And Jesus Christ at God's right hand, and in him is all of our comfort. If you need to change tonight, if we need to change tonight because we're walking in a sinful way, we're doubting, we're fearing, we're walking in rebellion against God, there's change in the changeless one. Repentance in him by his Spirit in our heart, and faith, the gift he gives to believe in him. And now we go forth, and no matter what changes in the world around us and in our own life, this is our believing confession. I have peace because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for so loyal a Savior who will never, ever betray us, because thou art Jehovah, the faithful and loyal God revealed to us in that blessed Savior. May we put all of our faith in thee and not trust in ourselves. So strengthen our faith tonight and give us confidence. In Jesus' name we pray.